Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks for joining us this week. So every week as you tune in and you listen to the show, I really do hope that my guests and I provide tips, ideas, strategies, and just a new perspective maybe of how you're looking at career, life, business, whatever it might be. And just remember, as you take these little tips and ideas and strategies and implement them into your life, business, career, that's when the magic starts to happen, right? Little adds up to the big. So please, please use our recommendations. Application is where the magic is. Now, to help you on this road of change, of course, I have a free gift for you. So go to my website and you'll find I have a free communication style assessment. It gives you just really good insight into your communication superpowers, but also your communication blind spots. And it just gives you an idea how people are perceiving you in the world, again, both personally and professionally. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, my gift to you. So my motivational quote today is by the amazing Stephen Covey, and he says, if the ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just gets us to the wrong place faster. So the phrase work smarter, not harder, you know what? It's something I think we all aspire to, right? And why is it that so many women, and probably men, but women believe that if they work twice as hard as their peers, they'll get noticed and, in quotes, guys, for those listening on an Apple podcast, they'll get noticed and earn and get promoted. So what do you do if you're trying to move up the corporate ladder? Of course, I have an expert today. My good friend and expert is Nancy. And I don't have your written name. It's Nancy Lublin Gooden. Did I say that right, Nance?
Lublin Good.
Lublin Good. Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. So my guest today, I have Nancy because she's my friend. That's why I didn't put the last name. Nancy is an international mobility and certified high performance coach. She spent more than 30 years in business and finance and is passionate about finding joy in life. Now, Nancy strongly believes that helping others get what they want is a key ingredient for joy. Now, during her time in corporate America, Nancy not only navigated her own path into leadership, but was able to coach and mentor others to find the work they loved and their paths into that space as well. Now she is focused on fixing the broken rungs on the corporate ladder through helping women get promoted in their current organizations by unleashing their natural collaborator and leveraging unique life experience to influence in all directions. So please help me welcome my good friend Nancy to the show. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, Connie. I'm really happy to be here today.
Yes. So clearly I am tongue-tied today, Nance. So thanks for being on and having patience with me in that introduction. But, you know, you do have a long career and, you know, you pivoted like so many of us and took control of your life and entered the world of being a business owner, right? So Congrats to that. And it's courage, right? It's courageous to do that. So we hear a lot today about equal pay for women, but I'm not sure everyone knows about the broken rungs. So first, let's kind of start with that since I had that in my introduction.
Perfect. Yeah, the broken rung, that phrase was really coined in a study that was started back in 2015. It's still ongoing. So we've got 6 years of data in this study. And it was created by McKinsey & Company in collaboration with leanin.org, which is an offshoot from Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. Mm-hmm. And this study takes about 600 large companies and looks at how they hire, retain, promote women within the organizations. And it's not been adapted yet for gender identity, so it is just men versus women, mm-hmm. And it is white men and women versus people of color. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of great information in there that tells us where we're going in this space. And basically, it's stated that when people are entry-level or individual contributors don't have an official leadership role, it's about a 50-50 split between men and women. But when we get into management, that first step into leadership, that changes, it shifts to 60% men, 40% women. And because there are a lot more management jobs than there are, say, C-suite or vice president jobs, the study claimed that that was the broken rung on the corporate ladder, moving just from that individual contributor to a first-time manager. But if we dig a little deeper into that study, when you get through senior manager, director levels, and up to VP, that shifts again to a 70-30 split, 70% men, 30% women.
Fascinating.
Jump through that senior vice president into the C-suite, and now we're at an 80-20 split. So I suggest to you that there are more than one rung that are broken on this ladder, and we need to get to it.
You know what's fascinating? Fascinating study, for sure. And yes, there clearly are multiple broken rungs, but that first rung, that first little shift, that's the trajectory, right, of that growth for the male in this study versus the female. So the trajectory right out of the gate. And you know, 1% difference in one degree, let's just say difference, creates a different trajectory. You know, James Clear in his book, Atomic Habits, it's all about that one degree of change and how when you go out like a plane, right, they have the software so that if they're one degree off, they could shift it. Because if they don't change that one degree at liftoff, they can end up in Russia instead of Florida, right? So it's the same kind of concept. So that first rung, I think, is, you're right, there's multiple, but that first rung probably is the critical piece. And I guess that's what that study is showing, right?
Correct. And while we have seen some improvement since 2015, it hasn't been significant. And another piece that we're adding into this is with COVID. Traditionally, men and women have been seen to leave the workforce and the corporate area at a consistent rate, both pretty equal. But through COVID, we've seen women leaving the workforce much more. And these women are in leadership positions. And this could be they've had to stay home and take care of a sick relative. Perhaps they're the ones who are now in charge of homeschooling the children. These are choices, of course, to be made. But what it's showing is that the progress that has been made, just shown from this study, could be erased. It could set us back 6 years, 10 years, as far as these percentages go, if this continues at this pace. So it's critical that we get those women who are looking to be promoted and eager to find those, that growth, the skills, the hacks, the development that they need to get there.
Yeah. And it is, here's the thing. If we change nothing and say, oh, it's just the way it is, nothing's going to change 5, 10, 20 years from now. And you know, the other important piece of this, and, you know, I have a lot of men listeners on the show or to the show too, Nancy. The important thing here is, you know, do you have a wife who's working as well? Shouldn't she have the opportunity, right, to bring home that bigger paycheck if that's what she chooses? Or you have daughters that are in school or graduating from college. Don't you want their future to be more open, right? So these rungs on the ladder kind of get fixed. But here's the most important piece of the puzzle, I think, especially here in the United States. I have listeners, you know, overseas, but in the United States, the dual income family is kind of the thing. Most times, even with newlyweds, when you talk, they're like, oh no, we need two incomes, because the United States, and I'm sure most countries around the world, are getting more and more and more expensive to live in. So it's important that we start to fix these rungs so that women do have an opportunity to make the money, because we do need these dual incomes, you know, for the way I see it in the United States, at least for the next, you know, decade or two, everything is expensive. We need two incomes.
Yes. Yes. And I've talked to a lot of women who are in that individual contributor or even in the early management stages who are ready for that expansion in responsibility or have some really great ideas and strategic, but because they perceive, like, look, I'm already working twice as hard as everybody around me. And if I take on that next step, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep my house together, deal with my kids' situations, keep my spouse or partner happy. And so they pull back and they play small. And because they don't have those hacks that help them understand you can have that. You can have great, deep relationships. You can continue to take care of your health. You don't have to go after that career and at the sacrifice of your marriage or of knowing who your kids are, so that you can move forward and have that security. Another piece of that is some of those women may find themselves single, you know, through, God forbid, death or through divorce. It's a challenge.
Yeah. And you know what the weirdest thing is, Nance? We are in a society now where self-help is so important, right? Self-care. Mm-hmm. And we hear so much about mindset work, and which, oh, by the way, are super important. I'm not downgrading that philosophy. Yeah, we do need to have self-care. Otherwise, we can never produce what we need to produce. And I'm not even just saying financially or from a career perspective, but we can never serve our family, extended families, our peers, philanthropically, right? We have to be healthy mm-hmm. to be able to do all of those things, to have the bandwidth to do it. So you hear so much talk about self-care, and then on the other side, it's kill yourself, you know? So this mixed message is very overwhelming, I think, for women at the same time, right?
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. A lot of folks, again, the media, what we see in movies, how that portrays. And then there's also that feeling of perhaps judgment. They're going to look down on me, or we've got mom guilt.
Sure.
You go to some third world countries where these women have an opportunity with microloans to build their own business. They don't have a concept of mom guilt, because they're thinking, what a blessing it is to be able to support and help my family.
Different perspective.
And so in our society, how we build our culture is another big piece to this. And as women, understanding what's going on and helping to encourage each other instead of pulling each other down, that's another big piece of it.
Yeah, I often share this story. So some of my listeners might have heard this before, but early in my career, I was maybe 30, and I got promoted to a vice president position, and was so excited. And I remember having a candid conversation. I had a female boss at the time. And so I was like, yes, you know, now we have the house, and, you know, I'm the vice president. I had finished my MBA. And so everything was falling into place. So, you know, just talking to another woman, I'm like, I can't wait now to have a baby. She paused. Like, I think she stopped breathing for a minute. And I was like, what's the matter? She goes, you just got promoted. What do you mean you're going to have a family? I'm like, look, I got to work. I know I got to work. I want to work. I'll be a better mom if I work. And, you know, so like there wasn't even a thought of leaving the workforce. She said, you know, you're on the road to senior vice president. And I'm like, yeah, so like to me, I'm thinking so. And she mm-hmm. said, isn't your career important? And it was such a funny pivotal point or perspective shift for me. And I looked at her and I said, this company could be bought tomorrow. I could be laid off tomorrow. You think I'm going to make my life decisions based on a corporation and the trajectory of my career? Not ever. I said, I go wash toilets if I have to, but nobody will take that. But see, I'm a control freak too, Nance, right? So I felt like, what? I'm going to stop my life for a corporation. So it's just so funny how our perspective, and she never had kids, by the way. So it's just how our perspective, how we see the world and where we prioritize, where my feeling, and I know you feel the same way, you have children. I'm like, mm-hmm. I could have it all. I'll figure it out, right? I can have it all. But I think that the competition of working twice as hard, if I get promoted, how the heck am I going to do this? I think that's where we end up playing small. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we think about competition, we need to stop competing. If you are working in an organization, a company, enterprise, whatever you call it, your real competition works somewhere else. Everybody who is getting paid by that same organization needs to be on the same team.
Yes.
And you can't see those people that you're working with as the enemy. You have to see them as your ally.
That's right.
And when you start with that mindset and you really start to understand, and I love that you started with a quote by Stephen Covey. He's one of my favorites. His 7 Habits for Highly Effective People.
Absolutely.
My favorite habit is seek first to understand, then be understood.
That's right. That's right.
And that's a big part of collaboration, where we have to really know who else is in the playing field and what are they capable of and how can I leverage their strengths instead of compete with them. So give us a better result for our employees in the organization, a better result for our clients, a better bottom line for the business. The competition, again, works somewhere else, not in your company.
You know, what's fascinating about that, and I know you've seen this, you're a little younger than me, but you have a long corporate career too. I remember, especially when I was in management and I'd be coaching my team to coach their employees, right? To get, for me, it was sales, right? To get those sales results. That's what I was responsible for, the revenue generation. And mm-hmm. I remember some of the women saying to me, well, I can't teach them that. They would take, I'm like, you have to delegate. If you don't delegate, you'll never get promoted because you're buried in the minutia. Additionally, you're not growing your team skill for their future, right, as from a career pathing standpoint. And I remember, yeah, again, many, many years ago, and I bet this mindset hasn't shifted much. Well, if I teach them, then I'm going to become obsolete. And the funniest thing, and I would point out other women in the organization that were delegating and grooming and getting their people promoted, right? And mm-hmm. what was happening was the company, the executives were like, you know, what's Connie Whitman doing? How come 10 people in the past year have gotten promoted into management positions? What is she doing? Maybe we need to duplicate that. So instead of me being disempowered because all these other people were growing skills, it shines the light of what are you doing different? We want those same results in this division within the company or whatever. So it's being so small-minded that if I teach you, I'm going to become obsolete, where empowering your teams is really a responsibility to be into management. Otherwise you're not leading, then you're just managing minutia, and that's not profitable for any organization. So these mindset shifts are really critical.
Amen, sister. Right? we've got to be able to develop our team and delegate. I remember I interviewed for a VP position once, and right in the interview, the senior VP told me, she's like, well, you didn't get the job. Do you want your feedback now? I was like, whew, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. And she told me, you know, three key things that I did not have experience in. Mm-hmm. And they were real. And I agreed with her. I said, you know, that's fair. But unless the leadership is going to start delegating some of this and coaching or mentoring us on this information, you're never going to be able to internally promote someone into this position.
That's right.
And the funniest part about it was she said, all right, that's fair too. So she agreed the person that she brought on, their number one priority would be to groom me to be their backfill. And I said, fantastic. And the person came on, they did exactly that. You know, about 4 months into the grooming, I realized I don't even want that job. Ah. Now that I see these other pieces that I hadn't seen before, I had great clarity and understanding that I needed a different path because that was not the job for me. And it was so helpful. And the person who was grooming me, she said, you're not really into this, are you? I says, no, I'm not. I'm not excited about this at all. And so I took a whole different path. She was very helpful in guiding me there and doing some mentorship, and it was fabulous. But you do have to get that understanding and that mentoring to understand, hey, maybe I don't want that. Or maybe this is perfect for me. I just need to learn a few more skills.
Exactly. And not take it personally. That was a really nice gift that first when you interviewed and said no, and here's why, as direct mm-hmm. as it was, you're like, you know, the gulp, right? And right? But then that feedback, that was a really generous gift that she gave you. And the funny thing is, then she was like, all right, that's your career pathing. Okay, this is what you're going to do. And then find out you didn't even want to do it. So again, another very valuable gift. Time and money could have been wasted. Effort could have been wasted. Confidence could be lost because we take these jobs that we think we want and then we suck at it because really it's not what we want to do. It's not our zone of genius. And then you start, oh my God, I'm not good enough. Oh my God, why can't I do this? And then the confidence can diminish. And that's another whole perspective of change that we need to avoid or understand where it's coming from. Some women associate Nance having confidence, right? Talking about confidence with bragging and or maybe are uncomfortable with that. Can they still be influential if they're trying to not be braggadocious and a jerk about it, right?
Right. Absolutely. You do not need to trash talk to get to the top. And that's a great thing about having the culture of collaboration. Again, we're not competing. Everybody that's competing with you works at a different place. What you're paid for is to generate discussion, thoughtfulness, ideas, and take action that get results for your organization.
Sure.
So when you are out in the areas of saying, hey, this is my zone of genius, this is what my strength is, and we can leverage that to get us here, then everybody around you has a better understanding of, again, how they can leverage your strength and not have to know how to do it all. This takes that heat of, I got to work twice as hard off of everybody. I mean, let's look at it from a sporting analogy. Most of us have played baseball or softball, right? Hitter hits the ball to third base. It's not third base's responsibility to tag out the runner before it gets to first base. It's your responsibility to throw it to first.
That's
and
right.
First responsibility to catch it and then tag him out.
That's right.
And or hopefully catch it while your foot's on the base. So knowing those different strengths, knowing what you're supposed to do, what's that next best action, when you're in a collaborative culture, that becomes so much clearer and so much faster to get to the end result.
That's right.
And so back to our softball, third base, understanding that they've got that and they know how to do it and they're confident that they can make that throw very consistently, that's not bragging. If you say the only reason first base could ever catch that ball is because I throw it so well.
That's right. Right.
There's your bragging, and there's something that is really not great for communication, for relationships, or for collaboration. So as long as you keep it to, let's be real, let's look at the actual results that we're achieving. We're not bragging. We're just sharing information and giving updates on the results.
And this is a tough one. And I know from my own career, it was a tough one. I remember I had a boss and we merged with another company, and I was the regional sales manager, always number one region. I added to the bottom line results all the time. And so this new president comes in and takes over the division. And we were in our first board meeting, right? I'm part of the executive team. And he asks me to take the notes. So I tell you, I wanted to scream. That wouldn't have, you know, boded well, right? Here being a senior vice president, screaming like a banshee. What would that have served? So quietly, I took the notes, right, for the meeting. And then after, and the rest were men, by the way, just as an aside. And afterwards, I, you know, organized the notes and I went in and I gave him the notes. He goes, "You're not happy with me." I'm very visual. And I said, no, I'm not. And I said, "Do you have a minute? Because I really would like to discuss this with you." And sure, he was, can I tell you, one of the best bosses I ever had. And I never worked so hard for anyone, except for myself now being in business. He was an amazing man. And this was, see, again, when you approach it from a place of respect, it matters. And I remember I said to him, "You know, you asked me to do something. I report to you. Of course, I executed in here, and I hope I did a good enough job. I've never had to take the minutes before in a meeting. That was never, ever my role in management. So I said, I did it, but I do want you to look. I'm the only woman in the room. Is that why you chose me?" And he said, "Yes and no." And I says, "Well, I'm hurt because I think I bring more to the table." And see, this is where I stated facts and wasn't bragging. I thought I brought more to the table. I strategically think, look at what I do with our team. I add dollars. The dollars are there. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Yet I was asked to take the notes. And you know what he said to me? He says, "I did it because I trust you. And I know how detailed you are and how much pride you take in what you deliver." And he goes, "I think it could be a woman thing, but that's not why I chose you, because you were the only girl in the room. I chose you because I trusted that you would do for me what I needed." And at that point, he was interviewing at admins, and he didn't have an admin. And he goes, "But that's why I chose you." And it was so funny, because that was a pivotal point in our collaboration, me reporting to him. But he said to me, you were poised, you were respectful. And he says, "And I'm really proud that you had the voice to come in and talk to me." And he says, "But no, I trust you and respect you. That's why I ask you to do these extra things." not because you're a woman. And we became really good friends after that. I became friends with his wife, but he trusted me. Now, I would never, had I kept my mouth shut and grumbled, yeah, he gave it to me because I was the girl and stupid notes. This is what I'm, you know, look how much money I bring to the bottom line. I'm a strategic thinker, blah, blah, blah. I could have complained instead of having the conversation in a respectful manner and pointing out my strengths. And at the end, he knew that, and that's why he leveraged me. So sometimes we don't know why people do things, but you got to ask, and you can brag. Again, I didn't brag. I was trying to state the facts, but it's coming from a place of respect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one of the key ways of creating a culture of collaboration is sharing your intentions.
Yes.
Just like him, if he had come up, he goes, I know you take great pride in your work and you're great in the details. So in this meeting we're going to walk into right now, would you take the notes? That would have been a whole different experience in that meeting for you as you took those notes, right? So as a leader, to make sure that we are sharing our intentions. I learned this lesson early because when somebody comes up with a new idea that I like, my first thought is to race to the obstacles that we're going to have to get over so we can get over them. So we can make this happen. And so those are the first things that want to come out of my mouth. And it sounds to other people like, well, she didn't like my idea. She said all these things are going to happen and this is really hard. And so I had to start prefacing my comments by, I love the idea. I want to make it work. A couple of things we got to make sure we take care of are boom, boom, boom. And it was a whole different conversation after that because they knew, oh, she's on my side and she's going to help us make this happen. Right. And just being true to yourself is another thing. Don't try to imitate somebody else's style. Just like you are, you're an upfront person. If your mouth doesn't say it, your face typically does. Right?
Yes, you know me, Nance.
So with that personality, you know, you're going to have to expect somebody's going to ask you, hey, you're not happy with me. You stood up for yourself and were true to yourself in that space. And that built the trust, speeds things up, creates that culture of collaboration, and you quickly move forward through that.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. And you're right. You're so funny. I am. You're quite direct as well, right? So I am very direct, and that's my behavioral style, right? My communication style. Nancy came through my class, so we understand, and she and I again have been around long enough. We've been through many behavioral models, DISC and Myers-Briggs, and all these others. And I happen to use mine with my clients. But flexing, right? I am always direct, but I was raised to be respectful of anyone I speak to. So that was ingrained from when I was a little girl. So even though I'm direct, and I think you could vouch for this, if not, I'll beat you later. No, I'm teasing. But but I am direct, but I always come from a place of love and respect. So just like when I went into that boss to have that conversation, I did not go in adversarial. I had to calm myself down because that initial talk, oh, it was going to be adversarial. But I knew you're not going to get anywhere by acting like a crazy person. So right, getting in control of yourself and still honoring my directness. But again, that word respect, I think, is really critical because you come across as professional and poised and articulate and collaborative and all of those things that I think are skills that we all, I don't care what age, what gender, we all need to possess to get ahead with our careers.
Absolutely. I can't agree more.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, but I do want to talk about, I know you're launching a 5-day challenge in September, and this show will absolutely be posted. And guys, I will put the link in the show notes. I do think this is an important challenge for people to start to flex those leadership skills. And I think also, Nance, to identify where their Achilles heel is, right? Where their deficits are of not the articulation and collaboration and building that influential kind of vibe about themselves without being braggadocious and being a jerk, right? There's that fine line. So your 5-day challenge is starting on September 13th. This is 2021 for my future listeners. But check out Nancy anyway. She probably has other challenges in the future, right? The 5-day challenge is to better career communication, and it's titled The 5-Day to Better Career Communication, a crash course for women who want to be heard. Just tell us really briefly about it, and really, what is the promise at the end of this challenge? What are some of the skills that people can develop?
So I know, Connie, you've done a lot of work in this space. This is more the nuts and bolts. So yes, you will identify your particular style that you prefer to use. But just because we prefer one doesn't mean we can't flex into somebody else's style. And when we flex into someone else's style, that takes the stress off of them, because we're living in their world now. And they walk away from that conversation thinking, oh my gosh, she totally gets me, or he totally understands me, that we're so much alike, even though you're not, maybe. But you flexed into that space to give information, deliver the right kinds of details in the time frame that they would prefer or appreciate, so that they can absorb it, adopt it, understand it faster.
Correct.
And that builds your influence. So you're going to learn the nuts and bolts of how to speak to people in that way, how to write your emails, texts, instant messages that way, how to present in that way, how to handle Q&A sessions, so that you're, again, stepping in and out of your style, but still being true to you, still being you genuinely who you are, but loving how you can get the information across and people feel it and feel safe in that space. It does feel more collaborative and moves things along a lot faster.
Everyone, I really recommend being part of this. Nancy was part of my masterclass from April, and then we have masterminds that she's part of, so she's still in my orbit, and I'm still in her orbit. Here's the thing, you know, we'd be in the middle of, you know, coaching or conversations, and someone was upset about whatever, right, business owner, and Nancy would gently and really, it's fascinating to watch a master, right, and just she and I have been doing it a long time, so don't, you can't compare yourself, right, but to watch a master like Nancy flex and give that other peer, right, that was part of our group in that coaching session, and just really help them at that moment with what they were struggling with from her zone of genius. So that's what we're talking about. And the person being so appreciative and grateful that Nancy understood, but Nancy was able to put it in the perspective of the individual. It's possible, and it's easier than you think. So I do really recommend that 5-day challenge. The other thing I wanted to comment on, Nancy, and Nancy and I are very similar with this as well. I'm all about the how-tos. Understanding information, wonderful. What do I do with it? That's when we start applying and executing the information learned. That's where the results comes in. So this is really a hands-on, get it done, understand, and here's a little simple exercise for you to use that muscle to start to develop that skill. And that's really what the 5-day challenge is all about. And it's easy, right, Nancy? It's like a short video, and then they have a short homework. All in 15, 20 minutes a day, maybe?
That would be it. And we're going to be incorporating the work that you're already doing. So
love it.
You'll watch the video 5-10 minutes. The work you'll be doing will be in your space. So it's something you're going to do anyway. You're just going to twist it, shift it, flex it a little bit so that you're going to be more effective where you are.
Love it. So if you are interested, I will put the link for the challenge in the show notes. In the meantime, if you have a specific question for Nancy, please reach out to her. Nancy, and Nancy is N-A-N-C-I, so Nancy at NLGcoaching.com. And if you want to check out her website to see what she's all about, go to her website, which is NLGcoaching.com. Nance, thanks so much. This is just such an important conversation and information, and you're just a really great resource for people to be able to learn and apply and gain that confidence in themselves to find their voice. So thank you so much for being on and sharing so much great information and research. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I love being able to help others and get them where they want to be and reach their desired results. So I'm appreciate the time.
Yeah, Nancy's the real deal, guys. That's why she's in my orbit. She's heart-centered. People matter. Your results matter. She's not a one and done. She really, really partners with you. So please check her out. Again, Nancy at, and make sure I'm doing this right, I have to read my notes here, NLGcoaching.com. So reach out to her again. Join the challenge. It'll be fun. Nance, thanks again just for such great content and just a great conversation. Really appreciated. And everybody, check out Nancy. This is important. This is an important conversation. Men, for your wives and for your daughters, this is an important conversation that needs to keep happening in the world and within organizations. So thank you again. Thank you all for tuning in. And I really do hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change or challenge you're facing, my guests and I really do provide some how-to actionable tips and strategies. So take some of the tips that Nancy gave you today and that we discussed, some of our stories, apply them, try them out in your life. The application, that execution, that's where the magic happens and that's where results happen. So please play and try and experiment. That's all you have to do, right? And it might make your life just a little bit easier at home or at work. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you again, Nancy, for being an amazing guest. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. And I truly am honored that you join me every week to hear my guests and I share some conversation and ideas that hopefully can make your world rock and create some magic in your life. So thank you again for tuning in. I am so thrilled that you're on this journey with me, and I will see you all next week. Have a great one. Thanks, everybody.